So welcome everybody to the ongoing class on meditation. For those of you who are coming for the first time, the beginner's class in meditation is in the door to my right, between here and the reception area if you come here for the first time. And please turn off your mobile phones, both of them if you've got two, someone said the other day. People have them, they know, these days, not just one mobile phone, but a whole battery of them for different people. But please turn them off so we can actually start just beginning with a few minutes of little advice about how to meditate, and followed by about 45 minutes where we do some meditation together. Sometimes people enjoy meditating in a group more than meditating by themselves, simply because it gives them a bit of discipline. Usually the peer pressure of seeing other people sitting meditation means that you have to not be so heedless and get your act together and meditate properly. It's very easy to fall asleep and snore when you're at home, but when you're actually sitting with other people, it gets embarrassing. So it's very good to be able to come here with everybody else. And also it means that you get off on the energy of like good meditators. We just finished our 3-month retreat, so the monks are all very full of peaceful meditation power, which is always really good. I notice that sometimes sitting in the presence of great meditators, as if their stillness tends to make you still as well. There is something to be gained from meditating in the presence of other good meditators. It makes you more still. But in the end, it's always up to you. You sit down there, you close your eyes, and it's your mind you're dealing with. And if we have the right attitude to the way we deal with the mind, it's quite easy to allow it to be still. Just like I said very often in Friday night talks, you cannot change the world, but you can certainly change your attitude to the world, the way you regard it. And it's the changing of attitude, the way you regard things, is a key not only to peace and wisdom in the realm of life, but it's also the key to success in meditation. It's not so much what you're experiencing when you shut your eyes, which is the problem. What the problem is how you are experiencing it. The content of your experience right now is what we call in Buddhism the result of old karma. It's here already, you can't do much with it, except let it be. What you can do is create the causes right now for peace and freedom in the future. Which is why that I've been telling my monks, even instructing myself, no matter what you're experiencing, make peace with it. Be able to make peace with this moment is like laying a brick when you're building a house. You're laying a moment of peace. And if you continue making many, many moments of peace, one after the other, you soon get your house of peace. If you are struggling, wanting, trying to get somewhere, do something, get rid of something, then you are not making a house of peace, you are making a house of war. Remember that the aim of meditation is peaceful, calm stillness. And you cannot get that by waging war with your mind. You can only get that by making peace. Which means that whatever you're watching, you make peace with it. The problem with that teaching in meditation is that we have to have some foundation of mindfulness, some clarity, so basically we know what we're doing. So because of that, we usually have these preliminary exercises, things like present moment awareness and silence, maybe watching the breath a little bit, in order just to settle you down and to allow your awareness of the inner world to increase to such a point that you can see what you're up to. At that point, the teachings such as making peace with this moment become crucial, Not only do you understand exactly what I mean by that, you also understand, through a little bit of trial and error, that that is a path to deepening your meditation. The way of meditation, of calming the mind down and bringing it great clarity, depends upon stillness. That's why the goal of meditation is stillness. And it's incredible to see just how still not just your mind but the whole world can become. The result of stillness is stopping. And many people have the false idea that the more still you are, the more you stop, the less mindful or less aware you are. But you'll find from your experience the opposite is true. The more you come to stillness, the more the mind stops, the more alert your consciousness becomes. And it becomes a path of heightened consciousness. One of my teacher Ajahn Chah's great sayings, to keep the body fit, to make it strong, you have to exercise. To keep the mind strong, to get consciousness at its peak, you have to be still. It's an opposite. You have to work the body to get physically strong. You have to keep the mind still to get mentally alert. And understanding these basic concepts of the way of the mind helps you navigate the path called meditation. Start off by deliberately making resolutions or having an inclination, an attitude, to completely let go of all the past and all the future. You have the inclination, the attitude, to let go of this thinking mind, which is always putting its comments in. That thinking mind you might call the backseat driver. And that's a phrase in our Western culture. We all know what a backseat driver is. There you are. Actually, sometimes not a backseat driver, it's a passenger seat driver these days. The person sitting next to you tells you how to drive. Don't go slow, don't go fast, go this way, don't go that way. And of course that's very enervating, it's very irritating, having someone tell you all the time what to do. And that's actually like the commentator inside of us. And it's actually, probably of all things, that's what drives most people crazy in this life. That nagging mind, which is always passing a comment, mostly negative comments, very rarely does it give you any praise. But always nagging, 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 always butting in, and being an obstruction, a hindrance from the peace, which will be there if it only shuts up for a while. So we start off with a little bit of present moment awareness and silence. And then there comes a time when we just either invite the breath to come in, or it comes in by itself. Many people who have been meditating a long time have the same experience. They do this calming down, present moment awareness and silence, and at a certain time the breath just comes by itself. They don't ask the breath to come in. They're just watching there, and now they're aware of the breath. But those of you who have only started meditating recently, you may have to just invite the breath in. And again, the idea of inviting is far less aggressive than taking hold of the breath and dragging it into the mind. To be successful in meditation, you have to develop subtle movements of the mind rather than these aggressive ones. You can't go out there and conquer the world in meditation. In meditation, you let go of the world. It's a completely different attitude. So that particular stage, you feel that, okay, now's the time for the breath to come in. You invite it in. Breath, if you want to come in now, please come in. And you'll find that you'll become aware of your breathing. It's important to get to the stage of breath, because what this means is you have something to focus on. Actually, those who are skilled in meditation, even present moment, you can focus on that once you know what it is, once you know what we're talking about, and even silence. People who are very wise, very discerning, they know what silence is. And you can listen to the silence. You can focus on it. Sometimes you can even hear it. To hear emptiness of all sound. Here we're talking not so much of the external sound, for the emptiness of these thoughts and ideas which often play in the mind without any respite. Now we're listening to the silence. You can focus on that as an object if you're skillful. But for many people it's not solid enough for them to really stand on. So for usually it's better to bit of present moment awareness, bit of silence, to calm everything down, to get the focus, to get the groundwork ready, so that when we do focus, it's not that hard, when we invite the breath, to stay with it. Just yesterday, returned from Bangkok, and I was teaching people there. And some of the people in Bangkok, they've had access to some of the greatest meditation teachers, you know, in Northeast Thailand and other places. And that's one point which they thanked me for. They said, for a long time now, they've been watching the breath straight away. They just sat down, closed their eyes, and just watched the breath. And they say it's been quite hard sometimes. And they thanked me for this little preparation, a time when you create present moment awareness and silence in order to settle your mind down, and then take up the breathing. They say it's far more successful when they do that. So take time in your preparation, and then when you watch the breath, you'll find it won't be that hard to maintain your awareness on the breath. You don't have to fight so much. It stays by itself because you have prepared. Which is why in the way of meditation, it's not just brute force, it's skill. It is this wise experience of how to deal with your mind. And those of you who have meditated a lot, you get the feel for how much present moment you need to do, how much silence you need to do before you can invite the breath in. And when you do invite the breath in, it's easy to hold. You don't have to stay forever on present moment awareness and silence, nor too short, just the right amount. And I can't tell you when it is you're supposed to change from one object to another. You feel that. Sometimes it happens naturally. But you have to find that time when you're ready to go on to the next stage. When you go on to the breath, if you've done the preparations, you can watch the breath and it doesn't go anywhere. It stays without you having to control it. And letting go of control, as many of you have heard me say before, is also the key to success in meditation. If you're controlling, you're actually disturbing the process. By leaving things alone, you're permitting stillness to happen. And stillness grows stage by stage, little by little. And as you grow more and more still in your meditation, it gets easier and easier. The awareness gets stronger, the mind becomes more subtle, you can let go more and more. The path of letting go is not just, now I'm going to let go and it happens. You let go inch by inch, stage by stage, little by little. As you let go a little, the awareness gets stronger, you get more happiness, you're encouraged to let go more, you can see more and more of what you're doing. Areas of the mind which are usually dark now become illuminated. You can just see more. And because you can see more, you can let go more. As you go in this path of meditation, letting go ever more and more peaceful, you go from these stages of just watching the breath to the beautiful breath. Just watching this breath go in and go out, it is so nice. It's delightful. You know the breath is delightful. You know what I'm talking about. When you're sitting there and you don't want to come out, you're just so happy meditating there. There's a happiness, a delight, along with your breath. And that grows. It grows and grows until the breath disappears and all you're left with is delight. Not a disturbing delight, but very still and peaceful happiness, which will allow you to go even deeper into the bliss states of meditation. This is what we do with meditating. We're disappearing, we're letting go, and allowing the peace, the bliss, the freedom to embrace our minds. So that's actually how we do it. Any questions about this? If you have, maybe you can ask them afterwards, because now is a good time to start. So if you'd like to get yourselves comfortable on your meditation position, just as one last announcement, those who are coming for the beginners class, this is the ongoing class. We're now going to meditate for 45 minutes or thereabouts. So close your eyes. And the first task in meditation is just to relax the body. To find a position where you're sitting of maximum comfort. There'll never be perfect comfort, because it's not the nature of the body to be without some irritation or pain. That just can't be achieved. But you can get to a position called GE, good enough. So get to the GE position. And when you feel GE, then you have done all you can with this body. You can leave it alone. But spend a little bit longer getting the GE position. People who rush usually end up wasting more time later. For those of you who've been travelling with people who know the shortcut, you always know it takes much longer. So no shortcuts. Take time to look with the body to finding the GE position. And once you think the body is comfortable, you leave it alone now. You've done your best. Now turn to your mind. Because the biggest obstacle in human beings these days is just how much they carry around their past and how much they anticipate their future. So we combat that with a few minutes of present moment awareness. Deliberately, intentionally saying no to the past. Not allowing the past to invade the present. So keeping this present moment free from whatever happened even a moment ago, let alone earlier on today or yesterday or before. deliberately saying no to the past. If it happened some time ago, it's done, you can't change it, bury it. So you don't carry that burden in meditation. Even good things which happened in the past, don't carry it now. You deliberately learn to let go of the past. You look to the future, completely uncertain. So you don't want to anticipate, expect, predict or worry. You also let go of the future. Whatever burdens you have later on, whatever duties, whatever hard work waits in front of you, I'll come to that later. Now is my rest time. Time of freedom from the weight of the past and the burden of the future. The first step to freedom is being now. And spend a little bit of time focusing on the present, because it takes a while to change the attitude of the mind. In outside life, you have to deal with past and future. So it's like changing gears, changing direction, being in the now. Once is enough present moment and silence. Then you just invite the breath in. If you invite the breath in, but you can't stay with the breath, you're wandering out around too much, then go back to present moment and silence. Build it stronger before you go to the breath.
It's now very close to the end of the meditation. How do you feel? What's it like inside your mind now? How much peace? How much freedom? How much happiness born of peace have you got inside? This is where we are mindful of the quality of our mind at the end of the meditation. We understand why our mind is like this, what we've done, what particular path have we travelled to get here. So I'm now going to ring the gong 3 times to end the meditation today. Please listen to every sound from the gong, and only when this third ringing from the gong disappears, only then come out from your meditation. Very good. As many of you know from experience, one of the most important features for success in meditation is like having a mind which sees clearly what you're doing in every moment. What in Buddhism we call sati, or mindfulness, literally means being here. If you're being here, you're mindful, you're aware of what's going on. You can also be aware of your reactions, whether it's the sound of the drumming, whether it's to the beauty in your mind, or the restlessness or sleepiness, whatever. And it's that which again is most important. To have the mindfulness which knows what you're experiencing and knows what you're doing about it. Which is why that mindfulness has to be developed. And I made a big point over those many years of understanding that mindfulness is only appears in the present moment, just now, and that the inner conversation, the thoughts, the description, the commentary, that stands in the way of mindfulness. So that when we can slow down the thinking mind to a stop, when we're in the present moment, we don't run around from past to future, the mindfulness grows. So it's the developing of mindfulness which we use before we start to watch the breath. And as we're watching the breath, if you find that your mind gets sleepy or your mind starts wandering around, other thoughts come in, then it's well recommended to go back to some present moment awareness or some silence, to focus not on where you want to get to, but the problems which you have right now. In other words, if you're restless, why are you restless? You must be holding something from the past, or rushing off to some goal in the future, or being worried about something which might happen. When you understand the causes why the mind wanders away, then you address those causes by doing something like present moment awareness. Or if you are a person who has lots and lots and lots of thinking going on, then address the silence. In other words, listen for the space between the words, the silence which is between the thoughts. Little attitudes like that can be very powerful in stopping the thinking mind and bringing it to silence. And once you're in the present moment and silent again, you can go back to the breath. Your mindfulness has been re-established. The supervisor, the one who's looking on, is there again, instead of being scattered all over the place. And when you have developed that mindfulness, the ability to see what's going on now, without a commentary, then you have the power to watch the breath and take it deeper into the happy states of meditation. Obviously, if the mindfulness isn't really here, it doesn't know what it's doing, it's like driving the car and sleeping at the wheel. Or it's like driving a car and answering a telephone. You know, everyone knows how dangerous that is. The police will fine you many demerit points if they catch you talking on your mobile while you're driving. It's because your attention is diverted. It's the same. You may be watching your breath, and your mobile phone inside your brain rings about something which is going to happen afterwards, or something which happened from the past. It's a mobile phone which stops you driving more deeply into meditation. If you answer that phone while you're meditating, you answer the past or you answer the future, and you get into a conversation, then your mindfulness is not on the journey of meditation. Here, if I had one of these cameras, I'd find many of you today, many demerit points for answering the mobile phone today of your past and future and having conversations while you're supposed to be just watching the breath. But unfortunately, even if I did fine you, I know you wouldn't pay. I can't legally enforce it here. And anyway, you wouldn't do such things. But be careful that if you develop that mindfulness, that focus, the meditation gets more and more powerful, more and more deep. If you get lost somewhere, just go back to the beginning again. Don't be so proud to think, no, I've done that already, I want to go to the deep states of meditation. Always prepare the foundations, and then your job is finished more quickly. And having been a builder before, you know, building up our monastery, you always know, especially when you're painting a wall, 60%, 80% of the painting job is of preparation beforehand. Sanding, cleaning, smoothing, getting the old rubbish off, especially the grease. If you sand and clean that wall perfectly, extra time, with the preparation, the paint job is easy. But people who rush and think, oh, this is enough now, and they just rush and put a slob of paint on that wall, it's never good because the surface isn't ready yet. So you have to have the surface of your mind ready to receive the breath. Otherwise you may try painting the breath on the mind, and it just doesn't stick, or it just gets all blotchy. So, preparation is so important. Prepare, then watch the breath. You're watching the breath, it's not working, go to the preparation again. See if you can do some more present moment awareness and silence. And then you'll find it will work. Okay, now any questions you have about the meditation? Yes. Yeah, okay, this is a very teaching which I often give, especially on retreats, and to people who don't know what I mean by silence, I want you to listen, not to what I'm saying, but to listen to what's going on in your mind as I
speak in a rather strange way. Because as I am talking, you'll find there's many gaps between my words. During those spaces, what was going on inside? You were silent. Now, it's only a small little trick, and if any of you ever teach meditation, you can use that. But it's a trick which shows people what silence is. The trick works because you don't know when I'm going to carry on. So you have to wait, you don't know, so you can't have a thought, otherwise you'd miss the next word. So people actually hold their mind still, and that's silence. And I use that because anybody can do that, it's very simple. And it shows people what silence is, and it also shows what it feels like, and it makes silence more accessible. You're fully listening, paying attention. Without any words, isn't that nice? So after you get used to that, you can actually hang out in that silence. That's a great place to be. It's always there for you. So you're listening, rather than chat inside. Does that make sense? Any other questions anyone has here today? Yeah. There's the last gong. It's an order for a person to come out slowly. Because sometimes, this was what my teacher said many years ago. He said sometimes if you're very still in meditation and you come out very quickly, it's like the pouring hot water into a cool glass. Things shatter. So especially when you get very deep in meditation, you've got to draw people out very slowly and gently. So the first gong, and then you realize that it's about time to get into out of meditation. But you don't go quickly. You don't say, right, that's it. Everybody out. Very gently you take people out. So three gongs. And you actually listen. It's very nice when you're mindful to listen to the sound of the gong and see it fade away until nothingness. And another one, it fades away. And you're giving yourself time to come out from meditation, open your eyes and come back into the world. It's also that after you come out of meditation, I usually say a few words. I don't ask for questions straight away, because the mind hasn't cranked up again yet. So I say a few words after finishing the meditation to get people going again. So that's what it is, a slow emergence from meditation. If you jump up too quick, not only does it feel weird, but also it means that you've dropped a lot of the peace, and you can't take it home with you, which is a great shame. So you just emerge gently out, and you don't lose so much. For those of you who meditate at home, sometimes that people think, I haven't got anybody to ring the gong, I'm by myself. One very great technique, someone suggested this years ago, is to have a little, whether it's a CD or the old cassette tapes, and, leave it absolutely silent for 45 minutes or whatever, however long you sit for. And right at the very end, get a gong and ding it three times nicely. And that's what you play. When you start meditating, you play that, and after 45 minutes, you know there's a nice gong going to sound to take you out of meditation. So that's a nice automated way. So you don't have to ring the gong. The sort of the CD player or the tape player will ring it for you. Okay, we're going to finish off now. As many of you know, there's an extra talk this evening at 5 p.m. Anyone who wants to stay, you're most welcome to. It's apparently Gay Pride Week this week, and the gay community in Perth have invited me to give a talk on Buddhism and homosexuality at 5 p.m. right here. So because of that, instead of staying here as I would normally do to answer questions, I'm going to go over there into the reception area. So any questions, you want to have a chat, We do it all over there, which gives a time for people to come into the hall or get it ready for the 5 to 6 o'clock or 6:15, whenever it finishes, talk this evening. Okay, so just pay respect to Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and then we'll all go over there into the reception area.